We'd like to welcome you along to Crossgarfree Presbyterian Church today. And we welcome those that are joining with us on Facebook and on Sermon Audio. And we are glad that you are tuning in with us. We pray that you may continue with us. This is our prayer meeting, so the desire is that you pray and to seek the face of God. There will be a Zoom meeting afterwards. And those who would like to join with us to pray, and we'd urge you to join with us to pray. The link is the link that was given first on the WhatsApp. So if you would join with us, please, in the place of prayer, and let's pray together and seek the face of God. We would be grateful for that. But tonight is a missionary deputation meeting. Our brother, Colin Maxwell, is with us this evening. He will be showing a DVD and also bringing a little word to us later on. Now, as we can't have an offering for the deputation meeting in the normal sense, what we'd like you to do is to support the work of Mr. Maxwell. And we'd like you to give, please send your offerings to our brother Glenn Mark, who it's from, so that the gift aid can be claimed. But if you would do that for us, we'd be very grateful, and we want to help and support in a practical way the ministry of Mr. Maxwell. And also, please, just to remember our brother at the throne of grace in prayer. But we're going to sing a hymn. It's the hymn that the gospel bells are ringing over land from sea to shore to shore. And we are going to have the words on the screen. And we'd ask you please to join in with the words as the hymn appears now on your screen. Well, can we just unite together at the throne of grace in prayer and let's seek the help and the blessing of Almighty God upon us? Let's draw near to the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name. We do thank thee for the mercy of God that draws us nigh to thee. We thank thee for the grace of God that is bestowed upon we poor, lost, benighted sinners. We thank thee for that love that drew salvation's plan, and for the grace that brought it down to man, and for the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We thank thee that it's Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. We thank thee for the message of the gospel. We bless thee that the gospel bells are ringing in this day. We thank thee, Lord, for the picture of the high priest and how the bells were on the skirts and on the bottom of the garment. And we thank thee that the ringing of the bells meant that atonement had been accepted. And we thank thee, Lord, that we can come with that message of the accepted atonement today. We thank thee we can ring the bells of the good news of Christ, who has come into the world to save sinners. And we pray that thou wouldst bless us tonight as we gather around thy word. We'd ask thee for that sense of thy presence. We'd pray that thou wouldst draw near to us and meet with us. We pray especially for thy servant, our brother Maxwell, as he comes to speak. We pray that thou wouldst bless the DVD that we'll see, and also as he brings a message, we pray for thy power to be given in the word of God. We'd ask that thou wouldst challenge us. We do remember thy servant as he goes across the border and as he labours for thee and preaches the gospel and seeks to see the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we pray that thou wouldst bless there in the witness at the fairs, at the gospel missions and other efforts that are being made. We'd ask thee for a real sense of thy presence there. Lord, we just ask thee that thou wouldst bless our sister Olive. We pray for her. We thank, Lord, of the news that she has received of the cancer back. We pray, Lord, that thy hand would be upon her. We thank that thou art the God that heals, and thou art the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And we pray that thou wouldst put thy hand upon our sister. We pray that thou wouldst give that healing touch. We thank thee that thou art able to do something that's miraculous. And we just ask thee that thy hand would be upon thy servant even at this time. We thank thee that we can trust in our God today. We rejoice our God in the midst of it all. But also we recognize that in the midst of life there are many things that come along our way that will be challenges to us, and we recognize the trials of life. And our Father, we know that we need to go through valleys as well as being on the mountaintop. And Lord, if all of life was on the mountaintop, we'd soon forget to lean upon thee. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst teach us to lean upon our beloved. And Lord, we pray that we might be those who are right in the place where thou wouldst have us to be, and that thou wouldst bless us abundantly in this day. We look to thee for thy grace and thy mercy. Remember those among our congregation who are lonely or shut in, who are in need of thy touch, or in need of thy blessing, who are in need, Lord, of the healing touch as well. And we pray that thy hand would be upon them, that thou wouldst draw near to them, even at this present time. We look to thee for thy grace and mercy. We'd ask thee that thy blessing would be upon us. Bless thy word went forth on the Lord's day. Draw near, our God, and wherever thy word went forth in faithfulness, bless the preaching of the word. Give help and blessing in the proclamation of thy truth today. Our God, just shut us in with thyself and bless everything that is done and said this evening. Lord, we thank thee for those that go out And those that labour for thee, help us to be labourers in the harvest field for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless and be with us now, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. We'd like to welcome our brother Colin Maxwell to the meeting, not here physically, but we're very glad to be able to see the video, the DVD, and also our brother will be speaking to us in a little while. And normally, of course, we would have the missionary come and to say something about the work that he's involved in, and normally I'd bring him up at this stage. But what I want to do just now is to introduce the video that he has for us, and it will give you a little insight into the work that our brother Colin is involved in. So we'll just run that video now.
I have a lot of memories when I look back over 30 years and moving down to Cork, a very different Cork and a very different Ireland to what it is now. But the answer is still the gospel. And the worse it gets, the greater the need for the gospel to go forth. It's different now. I'm not in Cork anymore. For the last 8 years, we have been up in an itinerant ministry with the bus behind us here that the mission board very kindly supplied. You can't stay in the van in the winter, you'd be frozen out of it, to be honest. But we would I would stay closer to home in the winter months. I live in 5 mile town. We're 12 mile from the border, whereby you can go an hour up the road into Monaghan, Cavan, Donegal sometimes, help with giving out of calendars around the little work at Ross Nowla, and then I'm able to come back again. But it's invaluable in the summer, because I can, when I go down to Galway, I stay in the little van and I'm away 3 nights, maybe 4 nights, and it really, I believe, pays for itself. We have some missions work in the Republic of Ireland where I work with others. The Reverend Laurie Power, who's now retired, Pastor Moan, who's a retired Baptist pastor. I've been working around the border areas now, around Cavan and Leitrim and Monaghan. And we're able just to have maybe 5 nights of meetings, 2 weeks of meetings. When you have a gospel mission, you have to, of course, make it known to the people. You can run adverts in the paper and so on like that. But it's best to get out into the community that you're hoping to reach. Get good gospel literature, get good card advertising the meetings where they are. And hopefully, and it's getting very hard now, but hopefully get a conversation going on the doorstep. We see encouragement more from the fact that believers will come in who are sitting in dead churches, which they will freely admit to. And they are very encouraged through the just the faithful preaching of God's word. Out of the mission, the first mission that we had in Breakey, outside Ballyborough, County Cavan, we've got a monthly prayer meeting going where believers will come in from a lot of different churches and will pray for the area, pray that God would move. We've been asked to do some missions in Northern Ireland and organise some of our own. Again, around the border areas, we need to remember that whether you live in Garrison or while you live over the border in the south of Ireland, God doesn't recognise borders in that sense. So we're trying to think ahead and trying to get community centres where people will come in on their home turf into where they're comfortable. And again, difficulty just getting people in. And you're just back to that same old thought, Protestant or Catholic, orange or green, man does not want the gospel. And he only wants it when the grace of God moves him to want it. I was asked 3 years ago if I would teach the junior secondary school in Clogher Valley. And I agreed to do so. And it was a challenge to me. But I was really pleased to have been asked from this point of view. I was converted to Christ nearly 40 years ago through doing RE in school. I was doing it for the O-level stage at that time. I didn't want to do it, but circumstances led to me doing it. And through reading the Bible in school and a Christian teacher, I come to know the Lord as my Saviour. So 40 years on are the guts of it. I now have my own little RE class. So I go down on a Monday morning, take the assembly, which is important as well, and we have been covering different subjects. We've done John's Gospel. So we're doing Genesis this year, God willing, and really looking forward to that again. There's a number of ministers, and myself as a missionary in the West, there's about maybe 9 or 10 of us, and we're on a rotative basis for the Q101 radio. So every 9 or 10 months, it comes round to my turn. And I look forward to that. It gives me a chance, actually, as a preacher, to preach a little series. And we send, just for Let the Bible Speak, a 12.5-minute message. And I'm able to edit it myself. The Plowing Championship started in 1998. There were 3 of us went down, and we just met up at the place. Gordon Day had a big tent, which we slept in. And it was absolutely freezing at night, but the humour was absolutely brilliant. And we just went in with a box of tracks. And I had always an idea that we would keep this going. I didn't know how, but we'd keep it going. And we did. We went back again the next year with more tracks, so our people came. We then worked our way up to having a little parasol and table. But we were now exhibitors, because they're not happy with you coming in and doing track work. But if you're an exhibitor, you get away with the whole lot. Then we made it up as far as a marquee. The marquee started off very basic, but we've worked our way up to where we are today. We're serving about 1,600 cups of tea. People coming in, a great literature table. We had a great contact, a fellow come in from Cork, a brilliant fellow that I knew, Jim Moriarty. And he came in on the last day. We were somewhere, and 2 boxes of calendars under his arms. And he says, "Colum," he says, I have to go home now. I can't give these out. Can your men give them out?" And I said, "Jim, leave them there. We'll give them out." It was about the last hour of the whole outreach. But some of the men took the boxes out and they come back. And all these boxes of, the 2 boxes of calendars were gone. People were queuing up to get them. So we decided the next year we would bring more calendars. And I think we brought about 3,000, and they went out very quickly. So we were on to something here. So the Reverend Crane, Reverend Jonathan Crane, he took the camera out, and he took farming pictures, tractors and so on. And we made our own calendar after that. And now we're giving out over about 35,000 calendars every year. It is really encouraging to see the people coming in. There's been days when they've had over 120,000 people. They're not all going to come into our tent. They don't want to come into our tent. They might not even know our tent is there. But nevertheless, there's thousands of people passing up. And they're coming in. Some just come in and look. Some come in and get a cup of tea. The Ladies' Army in the Free Church makes buns and so on for us. And sometimes there's some tremendous, real good gospel chats in that place. The glory of the Plowing Championship is that you're getting the farmers. This isn't Dublin, where it's an open air every single day. This isn't the big cities. These are farmers coming from the back of beyond. And they've been gathered together for us. And it's a great opportunity. And I believe it's going to go from strength to strength. The Consider Christ campaign has been a great encouragement to me, because this is organised really by others. I'm just part of the team. Consider Christ is when a lot of people from all over our different churches all come together, usually every 2 months, and they go into the towns, usually the bigger towns, and there's a lot of door-to-door evangelism goes on, with the hope that we can have a follow-up meeting in a hotel. And out of those meetings, we've been in different places, but the work in Athlone, which is still very small, has its up and downs, but it has come out of the Consider Christ. It's a great encouragement personally to me. Another important part of the outreach is to go down to Knock Shrine. Now, Knock Shrine isn't Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick's a mountain about 35 miles away. And the Catholics only go to it on Reek Sunday, which is the last Sunday in July. And I think this year it's about 12,000 at it. And the reason why I don't go, although I have been, was because there's quite a number of evangelists go. They're actually tripping over one another. So, you know, I feel if I don't go, it's not going to make that much of a difference. But Knock Shrine, which is in County Mayo also, is a different ball game. It goes back to 1879, when 15 people reported seeing a vision of the Virgin Mary. The Church of Rome put them through a very rigorous interrogation about it. Their story mostly agreed one with another, as much as 15 people can tell the same story. But out of this sighting, the whole pilgrim started to come. And now, in a little village that you would hardly take note of, there's a lot of little shops selling rosary beads and so on, and a big basilica, maybe possibly larger than the Martyrs' Memorial. So it's very big. And they got the airport open up the road, Knock Airport, and the pilgrims fly in from all over the world to this place. So I would go there usually about every 2 or 3 weeks over the summer, and I'll go down in their novena, which is in August, around the 15th of August. This little van that I'm sitting in at the moment is fantastic for it, because I can put the van at the side of the road outside the shops. There's no parking restrictions, no money to pay, no double yellow lines, no 2 hours on and 2 hours off. I'm in there at 9:45. I have a little book display out there, just booklets, and I am able to sit in a little van, and people will come and they'll look in. The first question, is this Catholic? And I will say, it's Christian. I'm not going to get into an argument over denominations. So then I walk away and say, well, I'm Catholic, and they walk away, and that sort of, you know, says it all, doesn't it? But they'll ask maybe, well, what's the difference? What do you believe? And you're looking for questions, because the questions give rise to the answers, and the answers, well, the reason it lies within it, the apologia. And that's a great opportunity to get the gospel going. I enjoy going to Dublin. It's a different place entirely to Knock and even to Galway, which are more provincial, and Knock, of course, being a very devout and religious place. Dublin is a very secular place. I've never really run into any physical trouble in Dublin, although the fellow that I preach with, he has, but I haven't. I'll stand opposite the GPO. It's one of the great iconic places, of course. And I'll stand with this fella. He's down about 4 days a week. I really admire his consistency there. But I'd meet up with him maybe again for 3 days. And I'll stand and we'll preach. Just preach the gospel, and people will come and talk, or they'll maybe take the literature that they're giving out. And again, maybe you meet up with other believers too. So certainly the Word of God's really been preached in Dublin, in the main street. And it's good just to be a wee part of that as well. People will not stop and listen so much, but they'll be standing maybe at the street corner. We preach at the junction there at the lights, so you have a captive audience, at least for a little while. In open-air preaching, you don't have an introduction and your proposition and 3 points. That's not going to happen. As somebody put to me, you're peppering the people going past. You're really just putting out Bible verses without wooden quotations from them. But you really do just have to have it. People, you have them for 20 seconds, 30 seconds maybe. The important thing to remember is that it's God's own work. It's not Colin Maxwell's work. It's not the Free Presbyterian work. It's God's work. It's God's word. We're very careful to try and keep the ministry scriptural so that God can bless it. And I need people to pray for the work of God. That's the important thing. Pray as the word goes out, that the Lord would prepare hearts. It's important to pray that as we travel many miles around different parts of Ireland, it's a long way from 5 mile town to all these places, and perseverance, keeping at it, and keeping the eye on the Lord, that it's His work.
Well, that gives you some insight into the work there, and we rejoice in the Word of God going forth across the border. And of course, I have an affinity there, having spent some time across the border with that work, and we do pray that God will bless his servant as he labours for the Lord in these days. Do remember the Zoom meeting afterwards. Do join with us, please. If you want to get some of the details, just let us know. But come and join with us. Do remember the meetings on the Lord's Day. The preacher will be our brother Paul Hanna. The Reverend Paul Hanna will be speaking. So just remember that. And tune in, please. And let that be known to others. And also just remember the presbytery prayer time on Saturday week, the 27th of February. And just we'll be giving you details of that. But if you'd please remember that and try and tune in that. There are many people who are enjoying these prayer meetings, and we want to pray that God will overrule in our land and that he might save the lost. So please remember that special time of prayer. But at this stage, we're going to ask our brother Colin to come and say a few words.
Hello, everybody. This is certainly a strange way to do a deputation meeting, but we're living in strange days, and until the Lord moves our ways, then they might be with us a while yet. Now, normally in my deputation meetings, normal circumstances, what I do is that I bring a word from the Lord, and then I give a short report of the work up to date, and then there's a showing of the DVD. And had I been following that acceptable routine, then I would have given a few thoughts from the words of Thomas in John chapter 11 and the verse 16. You remember that when the disciples heard that Christ intended to return to Judea again because his friend Lazarus was sick, his disciples said to him not to go. They discouraged him from going because, as I said, the Jews of late there have sought to stone thee. But the Lord insisted on going. And it's then that Thomas spoke the words that we just want to think about just for a moment or two. Just really the outline. He said, John 11 and verse 16. He said, let us also go that we might die with him. Very strange words, you might think, for a deputation meeting. But consider the following. First of all, number one, Christ calls for us to go. You think of this in a missionary setting. The Great Commission, the first words, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And whether it is to some far-flung corner of the world, or near our home, or just in our hometown, nevertheless, the Lord wants us to go. And then secondly, those who do go enjoy the presence of Christ, because Thomas said, let us go with him. And the Great Commission, as Matthew gives it, includes the promise, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. If Christ doesn't go with us, then there's not much that we can do. As we sometimes sing, all human skill is vain. Without me, he said, ye can do nothing. And that's why Moses said, in Exodus, Lord, if you don't go up with us, except you go up with us, carry us up, not up hence. And then thirdly, it may be a dangerous work to which the Lord calls us. And the history of the church and of missionary endeavour is full of those who went forth loving not their lives unto death and paid the ultimate price. And then lastly, should we ever be called to pay the ultimate price, then the Lord will be with us. It's very striking that Thomas didn't say, let us go and die for him. But in his despair almost, and yet you can see the faith in there, he said, let us go that we might die with him. And not every missionary pays the ultimate price. In the big picture, really very few do, but those who do gain the martyr's crown. And there's a reference to that in Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord said unto one of the churches, He said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." And the best thing that we can do, for none of us really know what a day will bring forth, the best thing that we can do is to consecrate our lives afresh unto God. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Now, I want to bring a little report, and really life this weller has been divided into two, hasn't it? We have the pre-COVID days, prior to March 2020, when everything was normal. And we were involved in the usual ministries that we have developed over a number of years now, mostly over the border in the Irish Republic. And some of these now that you will see in a few moments on the DVD, of course, have been suspended because we're not able to get over the border. I haven't been over the border since the end of September with all the various lockdowns. So they've just been suspended, and hopefully they will come back again. And these include the various shows, including the Ploughing Championships that was put off because of the COVID. The Breaky Prayer Meeting has been suspended, again for the same reason. And maybe missions that in better days would have been planned, well, we weren't able to plan them. The lockdown really has played havoc with a lot of the work of God. But in the summer, because the lockdown restrictions were lifted, as the COVID seemed to recede a little bit, I was able to get down to Dublin and to preach with the men that I meet up with in Dublin, in the city centre, there at O'Connell Street, just opposite the GPO. And we're able to preach away. Normally when I do go and meet with these men, you could preach in two or three times in the course of a day and handing out of tracts. We also went to Knock Shrine again. That's a favourite place to go. Park the little van outside the main gate, put out a little bit of a literature display. And we got talking to a lot of people, because even though there was no novena, official novena this year, people still came to Knock. And because they were greatly restricted as well, I tended to push the people out into the streets, into the street, and that's where I was able to speak with them. We got talking to a new group that has kind of emerged, and they're very kind of right-wing, right-of-centre, fundamental Romanist group. Very, very militant in their ways of thinking, very anti-church establishment. And I was able to chat to them. Now, they are a very militant kind of people. And I kind of wondered to myself, they're not going to tolerate me sitting here. But I got on quite well with them. I chatted them. We invariably, in a case like that, you end up debating them on the various doctrines of Rome. But even in the debate, you're able to put forward the truth of the gospel, the one sacrifice for sins for forever. COVID, strangely, has led to the setting up of two new opportunities. I teamed up, first of all, with Noel Shields. Noel is limited as well on what he can do. His normal activity, as you know, is to preach in the gospel missions around various halls and tents and so on. And he's been unable to do that. So we met up together, and for a number of weeks, we were able to go round various towns in Northern Ireland, Banbridge, Portadown, Lurgan, Armagh, Cookstown, Oma, and so on. And some of the villages as well. We would have an open-air meeting. Maybe only last for 25 minutes, half an hour. We play a little bit of music, preach the word, and then we would move on to another town. So that has been very enjoyable, and that looks the way forward for a little while yet. And then I was contacted by the Mission Board. The Mission Board, for a number of months now, since back there in March, have been putting out DVDs for the children, FPC Kids on YouTube. This is aimed at the primary school children, but they wanted to extend it a little bit. It's for school assemblies and for the young teenagers. So they've asked Noel and Johnny Smith and myself to contribute to that. And we did some recordings, prepared the messages, did some recordings, and they are still in the editing stage. So that's something that the Lord has opened the door for us to do. Now, we're still currently in lockdown as I'm speaking here, and that again greatly limits us. But we're busy. We're busy about the house preparing stuff and hopefully and praying that the Lord would open doors again. Now, I have to finish this deputation report on a really a sad note, because we have some bad news. And as a family, the long and the short of it is that Olive's cancer has returned again. As many of you know, she had cancer quite a number of years ago, breast cancer, and it seemed to be dealt with and went into remission. But cancer has come back again, and it's in the bone. And there's no human cure for bone cancer. All the modern drug can do is just to hold it at bay and to slow its process. So we're coming to terms with that as a family, and we would appreciate your prayers. We believe in the power of prayer for so much, and all we can say is ask the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The hymn writer said, he took the promise of God, or the words of the psalmist, "My times are in thy hands." And the hymn writer added the words, "My God, I wish them there." So thank you again for your faithful and your generous support for us. It's been for over many years. It's appreciated. It's needed. And if you want to support us, maybe on a covenant basis, well then you can get a little covenant card attached to the prayer card and fill it in and send it off to the Mission Board office. But please continue to pray for us. And once again, thank you for the opportunity of this deputation meeting.
Well, we'd like to thank Colin for the word of the Lord this evening. And we have brought the challenge, and you have heard the need there. And we need to pray that God will bless in his work. And we need to remember our sister, his wife Olive, and we pray that God will put his hand upon our sister, and we pray that God will have mercy, and that he's the God who heals, and we can bring our needs to him at the throne of grace and prayer. So please remember our sister. But let's just unite together at the throne of grace and prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee. We thank thee for what our ears have heard already and our eyes have seen. We thank thee for the work that has been done. We thank thee for the diligence of thy servant as he goes week by week, and in the different times and the different parts of the year, the different changing phases of the work according to winter or summer. And we thank thee, our God, that thy word is going out. We pray that thou would save the lost. We recognise the secularisation of the Republic and how there is a turning away from all religion. We think, Lord, of that bill that is going through the Irish Parliament to legalise euthanasia. And Lord, it is just a symptom of the way that that land has gone. And our Father, we pray that thou wouldst have mercy, and that even in the midst of all of this, that men and women might recognise that there is a God in heaven, one to whom they must bow and one to whom they must come. Bless thy servant. And we remember him particularly at this time. Remember his wife. And we pray that thy grace might be given. We thank thee, Lord, that when we go through the valleys, that the Lord is there. Thou hast said that thou wilt be with us in the valleys, in the dark places. We thank thee that thou hast promised that when there are floods and when there are fires, we thank thee that thou hast said, "I am with you." And we bless thee tonight for the presence of Almighty God. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst bless as we come to the place of prayer just now. We'd ask thee that thou wouldst pour out thy Spirit upon us, and that thou wouldst come and meet us at the point of our need. Bless us as we pray together. Now we'd ask thee for that sense of thy presence, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.